This is the Under Center Podcast. On the Dynamo Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Under Center Podcast. I am your host, Darren Marr, and I am joined by two of the only people not watching Line of Duty, Jake Woolhead and Phil Malloy. Lads, how are you filling your NFL-free Sundays by not watching Line of Duty?
I think that's funny. Actually, I had a call with my family there the other day, and like all they could say was, watch Line of Duty. I'm legitimately not watching Line of Duty.
I'm too busy watching RuPaul's Drag Race, to be honest with you. I don't have time for any new shows.
RuPaul.
That's fair enough. I am a Line of Duty fan, but I actually have not watched an episode this season yet. I'm one of those people that I wait for all of the season to finish, so then I can just binge watch the whole thing because I can't take a week in between episodes.
Yeah, I hate that shit too. But then I end up staying till like 4 o'clock in the morning watching. I did it with Breaking Bad. I watched 8 episodes in one night. Like I was in college in the morning. It's awful. Oh,
that's what we did for that. I don't know. Did you check out WandaVision?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I waited for all the episodes to finish and then I watched them all the way through because in hindsight, if I had to watch week to week, I probably would have stopped after episode 2 because I was wondering where is this thing going?
You did the right thing. Episode 1, I watched the whole thing and I was like, what is this going to be like this for the entire thing? Like, I don't understand this premise whatsoever. Yeah. Like,
yeah. And then it became clearer. And so that's okay. Doing the same thing for the Winter Soldier and the Falcon. We're going to wait till it's all finished, then I'm going to watch the whole thing through. But this is not a TV show podcast. This is an NFL podcast. And on the show today, we are continuing our off-season series, and it's the turn of the Carolina Panthers. And on the show to talk to us about the Panthers off-season is Rian Malloy. Rian, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And honestly, I'm a little bit surprised to be on. The last few guests you've had have been absolute VIPs. So, a little bit surprised that you've just brought in Fionn's brother as the special guest this week.
We did have Gary on for the Patriots. So
don't put yourself down, Rian. You're a cool guy. You got some cool glasses on. So you got it.
He has the look.
Look, nepotism is alive and well on this podcast. Okay. Exactly. That's what it is. You know, we got Jake's uncle on for our very first one. So look, we see how it's going. If I had a family member who liked NFL, I probably still wouldn't take them on, but that's a whole different reason. Before we get into the show, if you haven't already, if you can you please like this video and subscribe to the Dynamo Podcast Network? That is where you will get our podcast, I should say, on YouTube each and every week. Also, if you prefer to listen to us in the audio form, just search for Dynamo Podcast Network wherever you get your podcasts. That is where you will find our show each time we upload. So make sure you give us a follow or subscribe on there too. So let's get straight into talking about some Panthers. Rian, there's only one place to start, and that's Sam Darnold. He seemingly now is your QB1. But my first question is this a better solution than a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields who the Panthers could have had drafted if they drafted QB at number 8 later on this month?
Yeah, I'm firmly planted on the fence about this one. When I first heard the announcement that Sam Darnold was being brought in, I was a little bit confused, to be honest. Like, I didn't really understand why they would do that when there's so much talent in the draft coming up. Definitely a quarterback of, Trey Lance or maybe Mac Jones or something like that would have fallen to number 8. So I'm wondering why they didn't take that. Now, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I kind of say to myself, well, there are some upsides to this, you know. Sam Darnold, of course, is it's a weird fact, but he's younger than Joe Burrow. So we all see a huge upside with Joe Burrow. Why not the same with Sam Darnold? He's been in the league a few years now. He's also coming out of a dismal Adam Gase offense. And we saw Ryan Tannehill do the same thing, and now he's flourishing down in Tennessee. So, yeah, a little bit on the fence, but my optimism meter is ticking towards the upside.
And also on that, one of the things I remember when Matt Rhule was running for the Jets, between the Jets and the Panthers, that he was a real big fan of Sam Darnold. I think he had multiple calls with Sam Darnold before he had picked the Panthers. So obviously that's a bit of a positive. He wanted him, so he gets his guy in the end. So hopefully that spells a bit of a good reunion or a good union between the two of them offensively.
Right. And, you know, Joe Brady at offensive coordinator, he seems to be able to do special things, and he got a lot out of Teddy Bridgewater last year, more than I expected him to. Not a big fan of Bridgewater. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and I was actually going to ask about Teddy Bridgewater, because is this now move to get Darnold maybe a little unfair on Teddy Bridgewater? He was doing some good stuff at the start of the year when you had your best offensive weapon in McCaffrey available, but obviously, once McCaffrey went down for the year, obviously the performance level of Bridgewater went down a little bit more. But do you think maybe, like, is this something you felt they had to do, or could you have gone maybe with Bridgewater for another year?
To be honest, I think I have to throw it all the way back to when we signed Bridgewater. I wasn't a happy man at all. I'm a big Cam fan. I have the Cam jersey right beside me here. And basically he was gotten rid of because he was getting a little bit older, a little bit injury prone, and they needed to move on. And what they did was they brought in an aging, injury prone quarterback. I didn't really understand it. And at the end of the day, he's realistically just a game manager. We saw in Minnesota and also in the shorts that he had with the Saints, that he's not that big playmaker. He's a game manager. He'll get 70% completion rate, but maybe only 200 passing yards in a game. So for me, he's not the right fit for Carolina. Carolina have those big weapons on the outside that they can throw the bomb downfield, and he just wasn't the right fit for that offense.
Mm-hmm. Rian, you mentioned there staying away from the injury-prone players, and one obviously big talent that Dara already touched on is McCaffrey. Went down for nearly the full season last season, and that's obviously very damaging for your offense. He's a fantastic running back and also out of the backfield catching passes as well. Does that injury worry you in terms of his long-term productivity? Have you got a little asterisk beside him now in terms of what he might show from now on? Because we've seen in running backs in the past, it's not guaranteed he comes back the same player that he was before. And of course, they're all on social media, Saquon as well, and all the guys are always coming back showing how strong they are. And I believe they're putting in the work, but we do see, I think David Johnson, if I remember, had a similar injury, and he never really came back with that same burst and pop that he had in that fantastic season he had before he went down. So is that a worry for you as a fan? And then maybe with your fan cap off, is his durability now in question, do you think? There was talk when he came out of Stanford, he was a little bit undersized.
Right. Well, looking at the first couple of years that Christian was in the team, I would have said, you know, if anybody's going to get the ball on 50, 60% of the snaps, it's going to be him. He's going to be the one to survive. Even though he was a bit smaller, he seemed to be durable the entire time, barely missed a snap of football the entire first 2 years of his career. Now, looking at last year, you know, with that injury, not just the one, he had three injuries over the course of the season. Yeah, it does worry me a little bit. And I was a little bit surprised that the Panthers released Mike Davis. Mike Davis obviously filled in very well for Christian McCaffrey while he was down. And we see more and more of the kind of 1-2 punch coming into the NFL, like you see the Browns now with their running backs, Chubb and
Hunt,
yes. It's becoming more prevalent across the league. So I was surprised that we kind of got rid of him, particularly moving into, you know, a longer season this season. I really would be worried about Christian McCaffrey staying fit the entire season. I think Mike Davis would have been able to take a little bit of that weight off his shoulders.
And I guess some of that, I don't know if you agree, but some of that must be on Rhule as well, to be patient and to get him back in the game. Obviously, we expect him to come into the season full health, but if he does get these little niggles, to give him maybe that 1 or 2 game rest. As you mentioned, the season is going to be an extra game longer, and you guys would hope to be in contention, I guess, this season.
Well, I wouldn't say in contention. so much, but maybe we're talking about a winning season, which would be great for the Panthers. But yeah, just touching on what you said, I wouldn't be talking about giving him one or two game breaks. I'd be talking about just him not being out there 90% of the time, you know. Get another running back in, particularly a power back who can really run it in the trenches and, you know, kind of keep McCaffrey away from all of that heavy hitting that's going on there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That doesn't, in the depth chart there for the Panthers, it doesn't seem to be that sort of running back there at the moment. You're just looking at McCaffrey, who is sort of a speed guy on the outside, who's good. You can go in between the lines every now and again, don't get me wrong. Well, is it something now you're looking towards maybe the draft to sort of maybe look at a decent running back?
I think in the first couple of rounds, I don't think they're going to look to the running back position. Simply because they need to, you know, strengthen up on O-line, and they're really missing a strong kind of leader in that middle linebacker position. But yeah, maybe later on in the draft, we saw last year, Matt Rhule spent all of his draft picks on the defensive side of the ball. I think he has to this year go towards the offensive side of the ball. And looking at it, you know, the only real weaknesses in that offense are we need one or two more pieces on the O-line, maybe another tight end. We brought in Dan Arnold, but I'm not sure how good he's going to be as a pass-catching tight end. And then after that, you know, running back is the next position to fill.
Yeah, and there has been some really good additions to the Panthers in this offseason, for sure. You've mentioned Dan Arnold. You've brought in the likes of Hassan Reddick, AJ Boye, two really, really good veteran players there. David Moore from Seattle, who I could say who will frustrate you at times, but he can make the fantastic catches that not other wide receivers can make, but he can go missing in games too. You know, there are some really, really good additions there as well, but there are some players that you've lost on the other side of the ball, looking at, you know, Kawan Short, Russell Okung, Trey Boston. So there still is some areas to sort of freshen up the team a bit.
Yeah, I think another really big name that maybe is not as big as he should be that we've let go in the offseason is Efe Ogbada, the Nigerian-born, London-bred, American footballer, first come up through the European Player Academy situation. He really started to perform last season. You know, he had, I think it was a string of four games where he had a sack in each. He had multiple solo tackles on the year. The guy was looking like a real baller towards the end of last year, and we didn't decide to give him a contract. I think he really would have been a cheap addition to keep that D line, you know, growing. And he looks like he's one of the rising stars in the NFL, not just as a European player, but as a superstar. I really think he's going to do well in Buffalo, where he's landed. And yeah, I'm really, really sad to see him go.
Rince, sticking with defense, I know obviously we were in the same house, so we've watched a few games together, particularly obviously Panthers played Washington this season. And one guy you were really big on is Chin on the defense. Do you think he's going to become a focal point of that defense, or do you really see that you need to still add some more talent around him and give him a few more years to progress? Or like I mentioned before, do you think he's ready to carry that defense on his own?
Yeah, he's kind of he's a little bit caught in the middle. So he's a brilliant strong safety, but we were almost playing him in that kind of middle linebacker role because we had nobody else to fill in that position last year. He's not got the size to play that position week in, week out. So he's going to have to play in that that strong safety position. Now, usually your quarterback on the defense would be the middle linebacker. So I think we really need to strengthen that position, whether that comes from the draft or a late free agency. I'm not sure there's much talent left at middle linebacker in the free agency at the moment. But yeah, I mean, he's going to be a focal point on the defense. He really does need a few more weapons around him. I think a free safety would be a nice addition to sit next to him, because we have lost Trey Boston this year.
Yeah, Trey Boston was a big loss too. And just for any Washington fans that may be watching, not just Fionn, how big is the loss of Curtis Samuel?
I think it's a really big loss. This guy could play anywhere across the park. He could play slot, he could play outside, and he even played a bit of running back. And he was really dynamic at the running back position as well. I think Washington have found themselves as good. He played alongside Terry McLaurin in college. So that partnership is going to be back up and running. I think it's going to be really hot. I think Washington should be really pleased with themselves. And I think maybe all of these losses are down to cap space for the Panthers. I think they're really trying to make room for Deshaun Watson before the story broke. So, it's unfortunate that he had to leave, but that's just how it is.
And with the Deshaun Watson thing, do you think that the Panthers were... I saw the report that they were willing to trade Christian McCaffrey and a couple of ones for Watson. Do you think that they would have done something like that to get him in before all of this happened?
To be honest, I'm not so sure. I think, you know, obviously the media will speculate about that sort of thing constantly, but I don't think Deshaun Watson had that much value to say they're getting a stud of a running back plus two first rounders. Not to mention, you know, Chris McCaffrey has basically become the face of the franchise for Carolina. You know, they're paying him a lot of money for a reason. If they were really looking to get rid of him, they wouldn't have given him that contract last season. So, yeah, I don't think they really would have gone that far. Now, maybe three first rounders or something like that. I think they were really, really pursuing Watson, but I don't think they would have let go of their number one guy in the backfield.
Just moving on then to the draft, the six picks in the draft this year. You mentioned earlier on, you spent all your draft picks last year on defense. So all of these picks this year are going to be on offense. That's how it works, right?
I'm not so sure. you know, like if there's a middle linebacker there that's really appealing to Matt Rhule and the guys, I think they're gonna pick him up. But yeah, I think the main focal points in the draft are going to be that offensive line. If they can pick up Penei Sewell at number 8, that is, of course, if the number one tight end, what's his name?
Kyle Pitts.
If he's gone to Miami or someone before that, I think I would really love to see him at Carolina. You know, he's an absolute unicorn. His wingspan is insane. He's just got all of the talents. That really Carolina have been missing at tight end since Greg Olsen fell off, you know, when he got that leg injury. So, yeah, I would really love to see him, but realistically, it's going to be more likely that we go for the best offensive tackle or guard available in round one.
Yeah, I think with the Panthers, like, you kind of have to look at the offensive line at number 8. If you can get someone like Penei Sewell, like, I think you just have to do that. I don't think you have the option. I think there is a good chance that Kyle Pitts could be there for you at 8, but I still think if you can land Penei Sewell, then that's who you have to go for.
Right.
Well, just let me throw this down at you, because a lot of reports are saying that Jerry Jones is infatuated with Kyle Pitts. So if it gets to pick number 8, you're on the clock, and Jerry Jones gives you a call and says, look, listen, we need that number 8 pick. Would you be happy then if they offered, if obviously a decent compensation, but would you be happy to sort of trade back, knowing that, especially the offensive line, it is a fairly deep class this year?
I think it is a deep class this year, but the really top guys, there's a couple of guys projected to be in and around the top 10. I'm not so sure if we end up trading down that we're going to get the guy that we want. I think, you know, Kyle Pitts is obviously really, really good, but at the same time, we need to strengthen up on the O-line. So I think we have to put our own priorities first rather than, you know, maybe get that compensation that might or might not work out, because it's got to be paid out in draft picks and generally later rounds. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to work out that way.
Well, they are in number 10, so I'm guessing they would give you a straight swap. Well, not a straight swap, but they'd give you 10 and then maybe a third or something like that.
Right.
So it's not that far of a fall for Carolina if they definitely want to improve the offensive line and they don't mind that missing out on Kyle Pitts.
Well, I think, to be honest, Jerry Jones probably knows that Carolina are looking to strengthen on the O-line, so I don't think that trade is going to come through while we're on the clock.
Before we wrap up, I want to get your views on how Matt Rhule is doing as a coach. It was a difficult year last year. There were injuries involved. He seems to be doing what he can to improve the defense first before the offense, bearing it, obviously, and the proof is there with the draft picks. So they'll have another year of bedding into the team. And also, it was a weird year last year because they didn't have, there was no OTAs, there was no preseason training really at all. And it looks like some of the reports, it looks like there won't be any again this year. But are you happy with the progress the team is making at the moment under Coach Rhule?
I am. I think that, yeah, we've been involved in games. Like with the year previously under Rivera, we were being blown out at stages, you know, kind of, we never looked in the game at all. But I think it was 8 games last season that we lost by 1 score or less. So, yeah, it's really encouraging signs. You know, we went up against the previous Super Bowl champions and the current runners-up. And it was a 3-score game. Kansas City Chiefs only beat us by 3, and we missed a field goal late on. I don't think we should talk about Joey Sly in this podcast because I've gone on for ages about how terrible he is. But, yeah, encouraging signs all around the park. I'm really excited about that rookie class from last season, how they're going to progress in this season. I want to see more Derek Brown on the defensive line. And I really want to see what Chin can do in his natural position rather than being played as that Swiss Army knife from last season.
You were saying about Derek Brown. He is someone that I noticed there last season as well. He is a very, very good player. Now, with losing Short, I think if he can get someone, some sort of veteran on a veteran minimum to play beside him, maybe to help him out a little bit at times, I think that could really help out his development for next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see the talent there, but maybe the stats don't quite live up to it from last season. So I think he really is on an upward trajectory. And if he can get someone in there who can, you know, guide him through it, yeah, I think he's on a really, really good trajectory towards being a top player.
And next season, just kind of looking past the draft, you know, you were in the division with Tom Brady and the Bucs. They're bringing back almost everybody next year, I think, apart from Antonio Brown. I think he's the only one who's not coming back. They've just signed Giovanni.
Probably delighted about that.
Yeah. Well, from reports, it's like he took the minimum there last season, and now he's looking for like a crazy deal. Yeah. You know, like a Michael Thomas style deal. Well, like he's not going to get that anywhere. But you also you got the Falcons, they're in a transition period now with their new head coach. And now you've got New Orleans, who are, for the first time in a long time, you won't be coming up against Drew Brees. So, and we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be like there by the time the season starts. So what will you feel position-wise in the division will be a good year for the Panthers next year?
I'm hoping that we beat Atlanta for sure. Like if we finish bottom of that division, I won't be very happy at all. With the Saints, you know, they're in a little bit of a sticky situation, I believe, in terms of their cap space. They're way over at the moment, so they need to make some cuts. They need to, yeah, figure out their quarterback situation as well. So we might be able to get one over on them. And if we can do that and maybe get into almost playoff contention, I'd be very, very happy. I don't think we're going to beat the Bucs, though. That being said, I don't think the Bucs are going to repeat this year. You know, it's very difficult to do, and I think a lot of the players are like, yeah, they might have done that. So I really hope they don't, because, you know, it's not great to see divisional rivals winning the Super Bowl.
Well, it'll definitely be a lot harder for them next year now that they're facing division winners instead of, I think they finished third the year before or something like that. So it was an easier schedule they had last year. But it'll definitely be interesting to see.
I have a hot take.
Go for it.
Before we finish, I have a hot take. Washington to trade Kyle Allen to the Saints. Allen to become the starting quarterback, put 30 points on the Panthers and finish second in the division.
You're mad. You just think your quarterbacks are great. Like, your quarterbacks may only have one leg. I don't know what you think is happening in the football quarterback
room. It was devastating loss for you guys last season, I have
Kyle to Allen, say. Kyle Allen puts 30 points on the God of Warriors. So
he put 30 points on the Cowboys, I think.
Yeah, but that's the Cowboys. I mean, their secondary was dreadful.
Yeah, well, anyone could put 30 points on the Cowboys at any stage during that season. Even the Falcons are putting 30 something points on them. That's that. Cowboys are like a, like the worst marker in the world. I know you just do it because you want to stoke up Cowboys fans. Just both of you guys, just this is the mental thing about being having a podcast with two people out of the same division. You know, I know, like Green, you said you hate seeing like rivals in the division, you know, succeed. They hate seeing each other now succeed at this stage.
It was funny too, because even before I started this podcast, like the football team were the most neutral team for me in the NFC East, and they just topped that list. They're the most hated. Well, they're tied with the Cowboys. Now the Eagles are the neutral team.
Anyone but the Cowboys.
Yeah. The NFC East just seems to be the most like at each other's throat out of everybody.
It's the best crack. Yeah. The best crack.
See, the ones that are at the bottom fighting for the last bit of scraps are always the most vicious anyway, so...
Well, yeah, when the four wins can get you into the playoffs, and now it's...
That's how it is. A win's a win. Playoffs are playoffs. Doesn't matter.
Calm down, Rian. The words that just came out of your mouth 5 minutes ago were, I hope we beat the Falcons in the divisions. So
hope we're not last.
I stay talking about bad football.
Well, look, let's all remember that the Falcons still have some weapons on offense. You know, nobody's hot on Matt Ryan right now, but he's still Matt Ryan. You know, he's going to be probably a Hall of Famer. And he was a...
Oh, really?
A couple of seasons ago. I feel like he is, just for what he's done with the Falcons.
I feel like he's just going to get in, but I don't know if he deserves it.
It'll be a controversial choice, but I still feel like he's going to make it.
Well, that's interesting, because I want to get your point of view on this. Now, this is nothing to do with Panthers. This is an open table answer here for this. Julian Edelman retired yesterday, and everyone's saying he's going in the Hall of Fame.
No,
absolutely. He's not a Hall of Famer, is he?
Absolutely not.
I don't know. You just have 3 Super Bowl rings. You're going to get in anyway. It doesn't matter who you are.
Well, I was on any of those seasons he won the Super Bowl, I'm guessing he was the possession leader for the team. But what did he show up in any of the ranks for the whole season?
Did he not have Super Bowl MVP, like in the Patriots win last week?
Yeah, because he caught the ball off his head or something. Remember, he did a big...
He's definitely getting into the Hall of Fame. He's definitely getting the Hall of Fame off a Super Bowl MVP and 3 Super Bowls.
How many 1,000-yard seasons did he have?
I don't know.
No. How many Pro Bowls did he make?
I don't know.
I don't think he made that many. I don't know, if any.
If it's zero, he's not allowed in the Hall of Fame.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Julian Edelman.
He must have made one then.
He had to have made one then, yeah. Well, because they were always in the Super Bowl anyway, he probably couldn't make it into the Pro Bowl.
Never selected to a Pro Bowl.
There you go.
Well, that's on
Can't make it.
Well, that's what I heard during the week. I'm not sure how.
There must be exemptions. Like if you out of your like 11-year career, if you're in the Super Bowl for like 6 of them, I think you might have an exemption. Has to be, surely.
Possibly.
In fairness, we have to give him credit. Well, not credit, but we do have to throw in the mention that he did get 1,000 yards. He got 3,000 yards receiving seasons.
Oh, okay. Defense. That's fine. But yeah, no, there's no Pro Bowls. 3-time Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP, but you know, no Pro Bowls at all. Mental.
In 2010 and 2011, he caught 0 touchdowns. He also had 34 yards, in fairness to him. He was a backup.
Yeah. But look, anyway, he had a decent career anyway. If you come out of it with 3 Super Bowl rings, I think you can call your career success for sure. But look, listen, I know we took a detour there, but Rian, thanks so much for coming on today and talking about the Panthers. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. So just before we go, guys, if you are watching this on YouTube, can you please like this video and subscribe to the Dynamo Podcast Network? We'd really appreciate it if you can. That's where you'll find our podcast each and every week, or each and every time we upload a new podcast. If you prefer the audio form, Exact same thing. Wherever you get your podcast, just search Dynamo Podcast Network. That's where you'll find our podcasts each and every time we upload one there. You'll also find so many other great podcasts like the Four Podmen. They just did a preview of WrestleMania last week. They'll do a new one. They'll do a review at some stage this week or next week. You've also got the Superior Comic Show if you are a comic fan as well. While you're at it, go to our social pages. Follow us at facebook.com/ UnderCenterPod. We're at Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all at the same at UnderCenterPod. Just follow us there. You'll get updates on when the show is updated as well, too. And also, if you haven't noticed already today, we've been having a few Guinness during the show. So if you can, Guinness, I know you're watching, sponsor UnderCenterPod. That's it. So hashtag sponsor UnderCenterPod. There we are. Look. Ah, lovely point of Guinness. Fionn finished his Guinness before we went on air because he just couldn't wait.
I drink the large bottles and I drink them too fast.
That's why he's so boisterous all the time.
That's combative. That's how he gets ready for this show. He has his large bottle of Guinness and then he's ready for his hot takes, such as Kyle Allen being the next MVP.
Level. Write the IQ points if I can.
Once again, Rian, thanks so much. Lads, thank you also for coming on as usual.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So we will be back probably later on this week. We'll be talking about the Bills and the Raiders. So keep an eye out for those podcasts too. But until then, stay safe and we'll see you soon.